Dear friends, I still remember when I was a teenager, I wanted to do it so bad. So I went up there, went to a pool, and they had a tower there, and I was standing and looking down. It was a 10-meter, if you wonder how much that is, 32 feet high, and was standing there looking down, and I got so scared. But I said, I have to do it. I need to jump. So I took all my strength, lifted up, and went down. And boom, there was. I landed, and I made it. I was so excited that I was able to jump from this 10-meter board. Some years later, I was a young pastor. I went on a mission trip with the church, with the youth, to Colorado. And there again, I find myself not standing on a 10-meter-high diving board where there's water below, but I was on a high rope course, 20, 30 feet high, something like that, and the rope, the width of the rope was probably that long as the church wide is. And I was standing there, and you need to know I'm scared of heights. I'm not good with heights. Developed that later in my life, and I'm just scared. But I found myself up there, had a harness on, was hooked up to a rope, and there was a youth who yelled up from the bottom, saw me probably shaking, and said, listen to this, what he said, I will never forget, Pastor Stefan, take step by step, look forward, and have faith in God. Now the youth tells me to have faith in God. Huh. So I better have faith in God. So I got on this rope, and I made it to the other side. Can you imagine how our conversation in the evening when we had our small group time was? How it is to overcome anxieties and fears in life. And of course, the other students did it too, and we had all something to share. It was really deep in how our faith in God can help us. By faith, our scripture reading, you heard it, our first one from the Hebrew, it continuously says it. By faith, it's like the pulse in this reading. By faith, your ancestor received something. By faith, we will be able to understand. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, he stayed and patiently waited for God's promise to come through. By faith, he received. Now, the author of the Hebrews is unknown. We don't know who really wrote this really profound letter or book. But we know it was addressed to Jewish Christians who were struggling with their faith. They were brand new in their faith. They were before Jews, and all of a sudden they heard about Jesus, and they started this church, but now they said, maybe we go back to our Jewish roots. Maybe this Jesus thing isn't as good as we thought it was. And now the writer says, guys, have faith, because God has faith in you. God will be with you. You are a child of God. You are not alone on your journey through life. The same faith will help you to look into the future, to move forward. Your faith will inspire you to act. In our culture today, faith has often a different connotation. People think of faith as something that has no objective basis. The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines faith as a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Faith is often reduced to a private belief that might be true for one person, but maybe not so true for the other person. In the letter of the Hebrews, the word faith is more than just belief. It is a word of exhortation. In Jesus, we learn who God is and what God promised us to do in our lives. By faith, we are able to do things that seem impossible. By faith, Jesus touched a woman's hand who had fever. He just touched her hand, said a prayer, and she was better. By faith, a centurion came to Jesus and says, my servant is severely sick. He has seizures. He can't walk anymore. Can you say a word of healing? Just say it. You don't have to come to my house. Jesus says, I never saw faith like this in Israel. A Roman centurion, your servant is healed. At that moment, he was healed. You see the power of faith? It moves into action. So, what am I talking about? A week ago, on Wednesday, the whole family was in town. Grandparents were in town. Sister-in-law was in town. Two cousins were in town. So we went to a pool. It was a warm, hot day. And it was the pool, some of you might know, the Meinecke Outdoor Pool in Schaumburg. Now there was a high dive tower with a 1 meter, you know where I'm going, just wait, with a 1 meter, with a 3 meter, with a 5 meter, with a 7 meter, and a 10 meter. Well, I watched what was going on. There was Janek, the youngest. He was the first one up to the nobody said a word, you know, I mean, he can swim. He was the first one from all of our boys, we have four, just that you know. He was the first one up on the 10 meter. I was sure he's looking down, he's 8 years old, he will be scared, he turns around and will go back. That's what he's going to do. No? Okay, take a look. Janek jumped down. And he not even jumped down, he had fun. He went like this, way up, and jumped down. He didn't jump down once, he jumped down several times the whole afternoon. And then he added to it. One of his jumps, he yelled as loud as he could, and he has a loud voice, "Jesus is risen." He learned it at the church. Everyone, and I said, my son, Jesus is risen. And he landed like, and I didn't have the landing picture, like super beautiful, no splash in the pool. Just if he does it his whole life, first time. Guess how his brothers watched him. This guy jumps from a 10 meter. Wow. I was so proud of him, of his courage, so much faith to overcome his fears. And he had fears. But guess what? We had our prayers in the evening. How he felt, how strong he felt. The author of the Hebrews says about faith, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The author gives us many examples what faith does. And he always talks about, not as a noun, faith, he talks about as an action word. So, friends, you know Abraham. Everybody nodded, Jewish people. Oh, we know Abraham. Yes, Abraham, he got a word to leave his country and go to a foreign country. No GPS, no map, just go. And he went. His friends probably said, "Are you sure you didn't have a bad dream? How can you leave everything behind? Are you sure this was God?" "Yes, I'm going. I have faith it's going to work out." Well, the timing didn't work out for him as he hoped, because he made it to this new land. He pitched up a tent. He had some of his camels, and everything worked so far. God said, "You're going to have an offspring. You're going to have a huge family. I'm going to bless you with a huge land and a huge family. Look at the stars. As many stars, that's going to be your family. That many." No child. His wife wasn't able to give him a child. She was barren. The timing was off. Well, I guess we're going to be active. We're going to do something. At this time in the culture, it was okay. So Sarah said, "Well, my servant, maybe you can have a child with her." And he did, but God wasn't so happy with his actions or his initiative, let's call it like that. God shows up again now with angelic messengers. And these messengers tell Abraham, and said, "Abraham, you know, I know your timing and you're still waiting. Yeah, I'm now 100, and my wife is 90. Oh, yes, we are waiting. So I think we are done with waiting." And the angelic messenger says, "You're going to have a baby. You're going to be a daddy." The wife heard it outside in the tent. They talked loud. She did what Stephanie did. She started laughing. Laughing. "This can't be. How can this be?" Started laughing. Well, they had a child. So guess who had the last laughter? And they called the child Isaac. And Isaac in Hebrew means laughter. He laughs. So imagine when they were calling their son, "Can you come?" Laughter. "Can you come for dinner?" Laughter. "We need to have a conversation with you." Laughter. Well, his name was Isaac. Abraham and Sarah trusted God that it would all happen as God had promised. Now, the biblical scholar Robert Gagnon suggests the Hebrew author appears to say that faith believes that ultimately reality lies not in what we can hear or see right now. Faith instead trusts that what is ultimately real is what we cannot see or hear, because it hasn't happened yet.
It's coming. Are you ready to wait? It's coming.
Abram believed what God promised was real. God describes a future that he couldn't see in the moment, this new land and having so many children. But it did happen. Now, each one of us, by faith, can discover our promise, God's reality in our lives. We are all children of the promise. We are all connected to Abraham through Christ, and we are forever connected with Christ through our baptism. We have a promise that God will be on our side no matter what. Our job is to claim this promise, that God is not leaving us alone in our highs and lows that we are going through lives. Jesus is enough to carry us into a future that is unseen. Now, the author of Hebrews reminds his people to stick with the church, not walk away. Stick with it. Stick with your community, because then you will see the power of God. You will see what God can do. Last week, Mimi from our office, Megan, and Rosa from our office, and myself attended the two-day-long annual leadership summit at Willow Creek. And we were not alone there. Thousands of people from all over the world came to learn how to become better leaders. We met a gentleman who came from Brazil, and we had a great conversation with him why he came so far to here. As I was listening to these excellent speakers who came from the fashion, entertainment, business, political, and nonprofit world, I realized there was one threat that was going through all these remarkable, powerful presentations about leadership. One speaker in particular, that's us sitting there. So one speaker, name was Ben Sherwood. He was the former co-chairman for Disney Media Networks and president of Disney ABC Television, gave a fabulous talk. And at the end, he paused and says, well, you listen now to my talk, but I want to share with you one thing that I learned from a famous music producer. He didn't say the name. A movie producer. I learned from him about leadership. And he says two words are key for leadership in life. Are we all waiting, ready? And he said two words. Only connect. Only connect. If we only connect with our people around us, think about it. If we only connect with ourselves, if we only connect with God, our world would be a different place. Last week, at the end of the day, we all came back here to church. We had dinner at church. And I was thinking about this, only connect. Couldn't get out of my mind. All of a sudden, I see three boys going out to the parking lot because our deacon came. They brought a wheelchair to his car. They got him in the wheelchair. Pushed the wheelchair into the church. We had dinner at church. They were sitting around at his table, didn't leave him. The topic was by faith. We shared stories who taught us faith in our lives. Conversations were very intense, very personal. And these boys listened what the deacon had to say at their table. There was a pure, deep connection. When we drove home, the boys in the car told me how awesome the dinner church is. We should always have dinner church. Just do church like dinner church. Eat good food and talk. I said, okay, keep that in mind. The late great spiritual writer, Henry Nouwen, received a great revelation about faith in a circus. One day, Nouwen went to see the trapeze group, the Flying Rudleys, performing. He was astounded and mesmerized by the breathtaking performance as they flew gracefully through the air. At the end of the show, he spoke with the leader of the troupe, Rudley himself. No one asked him how he was able to perform with such grace and ease in this high air. And Rudley responded, "The public might think that I am the greatest star of the trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher." He says, the secret is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, I have simply to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me. The worst thing the flyer can do is try to catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch Joe. It's Joe's task to catch me. We often think we can figure out this thing with faith. We often think we need to catch God and get our mind around God in this complicated world. But in reality, it is not our job to catch God. God catches you and me. Faith is not passive. It takes actions to have faith. It needs our hands. If Abraham and Sarah would have stayed at home, would not have grown in their faith in their lives, they would not have experienced how God provides and fulfills the promises. Today, each one of us is called to have faith to do the impossible. And I want you to think for a moment before I share a closing prayer. What's the impossible right now in your life that you consider is impossible? Start in your personal life. If you have nothing in your personal life, think about in a wider circle, in your community. What is impossible that God is calling us to do? We live in a world where more and more people don't know God and don't expect God would do something impossible in our lives. Lives can change. And God is busy touching our lives every day to connect with us. We are all invited to partner with God in this important mission that we all have together here. So here's a prayer for a person who went through a difficult time in his life. I'm in deep. I cried to God. I'm deeper, God replied. How deep? I ask. Let go and see God's sight. Lord God, help us not to give up. Help us that we all can lean in you. We learned again today that you are the catcher. I'm willing to let go and allow you now to take over. I pray that we all in our lives have faith and are able to connect, able to listen to each other. Really listen. Listen to God and listen to our own body, our own voice in us. Sometimes our body tells us a lot. We live too busy lives to rest, to connect with God. It is in Christ's name, the great catcher, we pray. Amen.